from the epistles is from the letter of the church in Philippi from Paul. In the second chapter, he says, "Let that mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, being found in human form, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." May God bless to our hearts and to our understanding the readings from his holy word. Amen. Well, we've heard this story many, many times. In the time of Jesus, there was an annual event held in the holy city. It was called at that time the center of the universe, Jerusalem. The Jews had made a deal with the Roman government for the leader to process into the city and receive the adulation of the crowd, as the people would give honor to the Roman civic religion. Well, the Romans demanded that worship, and they used a pagan holiday, the festival of the entry of the tree. At that time, a palm tree was carried into the city to make their captives honor their empire and their emperor. It was kind of an Occupy event. People watched as the governor and his entourage entered the city, and they all waved their palm branches and shouted Hosanna, which in Aramaic means save us. While the authorities were believing they were being honored, the crowds were in fact insulting their god and making a mockery of the event. Some 65 years ago, Dorothy and I were in chapel at a Christian college in the South, and we had a brand new dean. After the chapel service, we were called into the office, and we were chastised for interdigitation in the chapel. Well, first I had to the dictionary to find out what an interdigitation was. We were holding hands. We didn't hold hands in the chapel. Well, after that, the students had a little deal going, and every time the dean would walk across the campus, they would wave tally-ho. And she thought that she was being greeted, but obviously. Jesus had directed the disciples, as we read, to obtain a colt, a donkey, to say to the householder, "The Lord has need of it." I use that all the time. The Lord has need of it. And it was so. On Palm Sunday marks the beginning of a week we call Holy Week, a week of passion. Now, as the people saw Jesus entering the city, first thing that came to their mind was Zechariah. The king is coming. It wasn't that warrior king on a white horse. It wasn't Alexander the Great who is depicted astride his plunging war horse. It was Zechariah. An earthly king was not the one for whom they were waiting. The Messiah, the King of Peace, would arrive plodding along in lowliness on the colt of a donkey. And then there were the servant songs of Isaiah to remind them of the situation, much like ours. Powerless, hopeless, oppressed, suffering, humiliation, death, all for being a follower of Yahweh. The first servant song in chapter 41 introduces the servant and his mission. He is to become an instrument of God's justice. The servant was to suffer. The second servant song in Isaiah 49 speaks of his being equipped with a mouth like a sword to restore God's people to a right relationship with Yahweh. The servant was to be a light to the nations so that God's salvation could reach the ends of the earth. And in the third song in chapter 50, we have that song of trust. The servant speaks of those who are taught, disciples, and their task was to preserve the teaching and to wait in hope for God to act, to be signs to God's future salvation. Disciples had to learn to wait for the Lord in hope. that same message is directed to those who are weary and weak. All that we stand for, equality, justice, holy lives, modesty, humility, love of neighbor, are constantly bombarded by our culture and the events. Are we not weary? We're servant people who willingly commit ourselves to leave old ways, allowing God to open our ears to hear God's call. Jesus says, take up your pallet. Take heart. It is I. Have no fear. All things are possible with those who believe. Are you overburdened? I will give you rest. And I will be with you always to the end of the age. Servants with their ears sensitized offered their backs. They endured suffering. They accepted hardship. Even as today, hundreds of thousands are being tortured and martyred. Obedient servants who offered a face to be spat upon, to be shamed, as Paul put it. For the sake of Christ, you not only believe in him, but you may have to suffer and die for his sake. Save us, we cry. A people who turn to million-dollar lotteries for salvation, fall victim to scam after scam offering quick fixes, have movies to learn that bullying is an unacceptable behavior or teenage pregnancy isn't a picnic, who seek community and communication with strangers, whether by electronic means or marches, where higher education has become indoctrination, where mentally ill pilots drive planes into mountains, where unbalanced Michelle Blair murders Stoney and Stephen, freezing their bodies, while the families and the authorities and the neighbors are asking, how could that happen? Mitch Albom has a wonderful article in today's newspaper, and he doesn't let anyone off the hook. They said, save us. That psalm was a word of appeal. One of my favorite writers is Tom Long, and I'm indebted to the Brailsfords for bringing me a copy of his book. It's autographed as well. So, at any rate, he tells the story of a My Lai incident that we're familiar with from Vietnam. But we'd only heard part of that story, it seems. It was on March 16, 1968, and this young man was on a routine patrol in Vietnam with his helicopter. And he looked down to see Lieutenant William McKinley slaughtering dozens of unarmed and helpless villagers, men, women, and children. And Thompson set his helicopter right down between the troops and the villagers, and he ordered his gunmen to point their guns at our troops. They ceased. He then called for other helicopters to come into the area and evacuate the surviving villages. For all of those efforts, he was almost court-martialed. 30 years it took for him to receive a soldier's medal for courage. So, as he was receiving an honor from Emory University, he said, I'd like to thank my mother and father for trying to instill in me the difference between right and wrong. We're a country people, born and raised in Stone Mountain, Georgia, but they taught me, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's a little thing called a golden rule. Try to live by it, he told the students. Søren Kierkegaard told the story of the geese in the barnyard. Every seventh day, one of their number would gather around, and he would speak to them, their most eloquent orator, and he would tell them of the exploits of their forebears. Those people, those birds, mounted up with wings and flew. He spoke of the maker, the creator, who had given geese wings, the instinct to fly. This deeply impressed all of the geese, he reports, and they nodded their heads solemnly. But despite all of those things that they did, one thing they did not do, they did not fly. The corn was too good, the barnyard too safe. Popular Christianity takes us from poinsettias to palms to lilies, skipping over beating, spitting, and crosses. But there is no such thing as ouchless Christianity. The one they saw riding into Jerusalem to a royal reception was not God's Messiah ready to raise an armed revolt against the Romans. He was God's own son, stripped of authority, obedient unto death, from cheering crowds to a throne of agony and a crown of thorns. Jesus entered the pit, Gehenna. God seemed absent, the universe no meaning. You see, to believe in him, to accept him as Lord and Savior, is to be delivered from the fear that we live in a time without hope. To be delivered from any private hell into which we may have sunk in our lives. To be shown that servanthood is not a trivial pursuit, but a response to a love that beats in the heart, and beats in the heart of God. The prosperity gospel in America abounds, in pulpit and without. While serving in California, there was a large complex near our home in Huntington Beach. And there was a sign hung out there that said, Church of Religious Science. I found out that it was run by a woman by the name of Peggy Bassett. Her numbers were 60,000 worldwide and 3,000 locally. And her message was simple. If you want life, go for it. Grab it. You deserve it. And if you become ill, you deserve that too. All you need is love. New Age faith. And all of the flock nodded. 10 years later, she was older. We were still there. She was on her fifth husband who helped her into the pulpit. And she'd struck a new note. There's an inner spirit. There's a God who demands obedience. And suddenly, the flock was no longer 3,000. While nearby possibility thinking Crystal Cathedral closed, was sold, and became a Catholic cathedral. Ours is not a faith that some person created, be it Mormon or Scientology. Ours is historically received and also enacted. We participate in the baptism of water. We become new altogether. On Monday, Thursday, we're invited to the table. His body, his blood, take, eat. Do this in remembrance. For by his life, his death, and resurrection, we have new forever lives. Friends, he has come. Did you not see? Did you not hear? You can't just wave or nod. No cross, no crown. Jesus, ride on in majesty, for we will preserve the teaching. We will wait in hope for God to act. We will be signs coming to God's kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus, come.